This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:05 in the evening, which means it's time again for Popek Popek Parliament. Tasha Fusil joins us with the updates from the Day One Rakyat today. What do you have for us today?
So one of the topics that was discussed today was the scuffle that happened last Friday outside the University of Malaya when Dato' Sri Najib Razak went to a restaurant nearby for a meet and greet session. As you may have seen or heard in the news, about 7 students held a peaceful protest against Najib, but things got kind of ugly when his supporters began to assault the students as well as 2 female intern journalists. So today, Bukit Gelugur MP Ram Kapal Singh brought this up in Parliament. He criticised the fact that no action has been taken so far against the assaulters.
Apa yang mereka buat? Apa yang mereka buat yang agak sensitif itu sehingga mereka boleh diserang oleh sekumpulan something? Bilakah kejadian ini berlaku? Pada hari Jumaat, kalau tidak silap saya. Sekarang hari Isnin. Sudah 3-4 hari. Adakah sesiapa ditahan? Walaupun perkara ini sudah dijadikan viral. Semua orang tahu, satu dewan tahu apa yang berlaku. Ada video, ada gambar berkenaan apa yang berlaku. Adakah ini satu perkara yang susah untuk kita menangani, untuk pihak authority menangani? Adakah mereka di dalam video itu ataupun di dalam gambar-gambar itu fugitif dengan izin seperti Jolo? Kita tak tahu mana dia orang, tak boleh tangkap.
Ram Kapal then moved on to emphasize the need for laws against racism and hate speech, but not without first having a quick altercation with several opposition MPs.
Kita kena mengakui ini kerja UMNO. Jangan kita menyembunyikan fakta itu. Ini bukan kali pertama.
How do you UMNO know? How do you know dia UMNO? How do you know?
Adakah yang berhantar tu DAP punya?
Saya tak bagi laluan, Tuan Speaker.
Yang pelajar-pelajar itu terhad, pun dari DAP juga.
Adakah pelajar itu dicadang oleh DAP?
Ya, sila minta kebenaran. Ya, sila.
So just a little while later though, all was well again when the MP made the call for everyone to support his plea.
Jadi itu sebabnya saya nak tanya kepada Kementerian Menteri Dalam Negeri. Adakah kita akan menggubalkan undang-undang untuk menjadikan ia-ia jenayah, outlaw untuk perkara-perkara bukan saja perkara-perkara fizikal tetapi juga kata-kata yang berbau racism? Ini adalah diperlukan. Tahun lepas kita dah dengar menteri ada sebut nak memperkenalkan beberapa undang-undang yang akan menangani masalah rasism ini dan sebagainya. Tetapi ini perlu dipercepatkan, Tuan Speaker, supaya kita mengelakkan perkara-perkara seperti ini berlaku. Tak kira dari sebelah sini, tak kira dari sebelah sana. Saya rasa semua di Dewan ini perlu menyokong undang-undang untuk menjenayakan racism. Let us all.
Saya sokong.
Let us all dengan izin before I finish, Tuan Speaker.
Saya pun sokong.
Let us all dengan izin before
saya
I
sokong.
Finish. Let us all throw our support behind legislation outlawing racism. Terima kasih, Tuan Speaker.
Yeah, so the ones that you hear going saya sokong are actually like opposition MPs, Datuk Sri Bong Mokhtar, Datuk Sri Ahmad Mazlan and Datuk Sri Shahidan Kasim.
Which is a big changeover from how do you know? How do you know? And it's a very big change of pace. It is nice, of course, to see MPs across the political divide actually coming together, especially on an issue like this that's really kind of informing a lot of public discourse at the moment. But I have to say that the mood swing was a bit big.
It was a huge shift.
Yes.
What else was interesting today?
The questions around the leadership of the Public Accounts Committee actually caused a bit of drama today. Just over the weekend, Nurul Izzah resigned from her position as a PAC member in protest against the fact that Datuk Sri Ronald Kiandi is still the chairperson of the committee, although he has switched parties from UMNO to Bersatu. One of the MPs who commented on this matter was Datuk Taqiyuddin Hassan. He's also a member of the committee. He agreed that an opposition MP should be in the leadership of the PAC, or at least occupying the deputy chair role, in order for that committee to remain effective in its role.
Saya setuju dengan pandangan Perdana Menteri bahawa jawatan pengurusi PAC bukan jawatan yang berkaitan dengan legal. Any member of parliament can be appointed as chairman of PAC. But because Pakatan Harapan in their manifesto stated that they will implement only member of parliament from opposition can be appointed as chairman of PAC. Kalau zaman BN dulu, chairman daripada BN, timbalan chairman daripada pemanggang, iaitu Dr. Tan Seng Giau dulu. So sekarang ni nampaknya chairman daripada kerajaan, timbalan pun daripada kerajaan. Itu satu perkara yang kita rasa agak lari jauh lah daripada amalan asal. Paling kurang kalau chairman daripada kerajaan, timbalan chairman mesti daripada opposition. Because PAC ni satu badan yang cukup penting untuk menyiasat, membuat recommendation kepada kerajaan mengenai teguran-teguran audit. Bila teguran audit, perkara ini dilakukan oleh anggota kerajaan. Jadi kalau chairman daripada anggota kerajaan, timbalan chairman pun dari anggota kerajaan, kita bimbang PAC tidak efektif lah dalam kerja-kerja dia.
So after Taqiyuddin made those comments, he and two other opposition MPs who were part of the committee resigned with immediate effect, Datuk Sri Ahmad Hamza and Datuk Nuraini Ahmad.
And did anyone else give a statement about this?
Yeah, and it came from Deputy Speaker Nga Kor Ming. He gave assurance that a new chairperson will be appointed after the current cases being heard by the PAC are concluded. So Ronald Kiandi will be there to oversee that process for now, and that the time just isn't right to make that change.
Berikan sedikit masa, kerajaan akan memilih seorang pengerusi PAC yang baru pada masa yang sesuai. Memandangkan ketika ini, banyak kes yang sedang pun didengar oleh PAC. Saya rasa pihak di mana pejabat speaker dan juga kerajaan, kita akan mencari satu masa yang sesuai untuk memilih seorang pengerusi baru mengikut apa yang dikatakan oleh Yang Amat Berhormat Perdana Menteri.
That was Deputy Speaker Nga Kor Ming. So over the weekend, there was this whole episode around the removal of a Japanese warrior monument in Kedah. It had been built earlier but was cleaned up and restored, and they had an unveiling ceremony for it.
Yes, and the banner for the ceremony actually called the Memorial Tugu Wira Jepun. It was supposed to commemorate the act of three soldiers who died trying to secure the Alostar Bridge at the time, I think, but kind of painting them in that light as heroes was understandably kind of a trigger for a lot of people in the area.
For sure. And so we got a statement from the Tourism and Culture Minister, Datuk Muhammad Ketapi. He said that it's not under his ministry's purview because the land that the monument occupies is beside the lot that's under the ministry. So it's a state matter and he can't comment any further.
Yang tempat berlaku ni, dia tak termasuk di dalam kawasan kita. Dia sebelah kita. But you see, the thing is, on this one, is a state punya meter lah. Orang federal tak boleh komen state punya hal tau.
Wow, that's a lot of, it is in the lot beside the state's land and therefore,
hands
not
off.
Yeah, not my problem.
So that was our Tourism and Culture Minister, Mohamadin Ketapi. What other interesting updates do you have for us?
The Deputy Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, Hannah Yeo, gave a press conference today. She talked about the ministry's efforts to cut down on the bureaucracy involved when one applies for welfare aid. That was an extension of her reply to a question from the MP for Tangga Batu, Puan Rosna Aluai. Here's the Deputy Minister talking about some of the changes that have been made to hasten the application process, which includes shortening the form that was originally 9 pages long and also axing certain unnecessary procedures.
kita telah pendekkan borang permohonan, kurangkan daripada sebelum ini 9 muka surat, sekarang ini sudah jadi 3 muka surat saja. Dan yang paling penting adalah kolom untuk mendapatkan sokongan ataupun saksi wakil rakyat telah dikeluarkan. Bermaksud sekarang ini, kalau mereka nak mohon untuk bantuan JKM, mereka tak perlu pergi cari ahli parlimen ataupun ahli Dewan Negeri. Dan sebelum ini, walaupun kita tahu, realiti adalah di mana mereka perlu pergi cari ahli politik yang menang di kawasan tersebut, dan adalah kita dengar ada rintihan dan komplain bahawa kalau tak sokong saya, saya tak bagi sign. Okay? So sekarang ini semua kolom macam ini kita dah keluarkan daripada proses supaya yang mereka yang submit dan kalau dokumen dan syarat mereka mematuhi syarat, mereka akan layak dapatkan bantuan.
As for clear-cut cases, for example, individuals with physical disabilities, the ministry will shorten the response time from 2 months down to just 1 week. And for those applying for aid to pay for assistive tools such as prosthetics, they will no longer have to even wait to send in those 3 quotations. As long as the cost is below a certain ceiling price, then it's a go from the ministry.
Right. And where can you actually go to apply for welfare aid?
Hanayo touched on this as well. She said that you can now do it online. So you can just you just have to log on to spbk.jkm.gov.my. You can also follow up on the status of your application there. And of course, you can still head to the nearest JKM office to do that.
Any more developments that you would like to highlight from today?
Yes. So the Primary Industries Minister, Theresa Kok, gave a comment about palm oil.
Excellent.
All the kerfuffle that's going on around it. She started off by talking about some of the surprising benefits of palm oil.
Sebenarnya, kita ada virgin palm oil ataupun red palm oil. Yang mana ia adalah macam original daripada minyak sawit. Ia sangat bagus untuk menambahbaikkan penglihatan kita. Ini sebenarnya memang ada penyelidikan dibuat oleh Nutritionist Society di China yang memang melalui yang research penyelidikan mereka, yang red palm oil itu memang dapat membantu meningkatkan lagi penglihatan budak-budak. Jadi memang sangat baik yang sebenarnya yang duta negeri China di Malaysia, Baitian, dia juga kata dia selepas saya bagi dia red palm oil, dia sudah mula minum satu sudu tiap-tiap pagi. Dan ramai warga Malaysia tidak tahu sebenarnya vitamin E, tocotrienol, di-extract keluarkan daripada minyak sawit. Jadi selepas saya jadi menteri, baru saya tahu, saya mula makan. Itu sebab saya lihat lebih muda sekarang. Jadi yang kempen sayangi sawit itu sebenarnya adalah untuk memberi kesedaran dan pendidikan kepada warga Malaysia tentang produk 5 bintang kita, dan juga turut jadi duta kepada minyak sawit kita.
Do you remember a little while ago how you couldn't go online or go anywhere without somebody telling you about how awesome virgin coconut oil was and how it was going to change your life?
Yep.
And your hair would grow and you would lose weight? I feel like listening to that, we were at the beginning of that moment, but just for virgin
a
red palm oil.
A whole new wave of, yeah.
Right? Doesn't it feel that way?
Didn't it sound a bit like an MLM scheme?
I think the
my downline.
What we're hearing there is the fervent belief that, and I truly believe that she has that firm faith in palm oil. So apparently, yes, virgin red palm oil.
It's
that's
the way
to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She also mentioned that the ministry is already looking into other potential markets for our palm oil, including African and Middle Eastern countries.
Sebenarnya kementerian saya telah pun mula cari pasaran baru melalui MPOC. Kita dah pergi cari pasaran baru dekat Timur Tengah dan juga negara-negara Afrika. Sebenarnya Timbalan Menteri kementerian saya, YB Dato' Sri Shamsul, dia pada awal tahun ini dia telah pun pergi ke beberapa negara termasuk Pakistan, termasuk negara-negara Timur Tengah, dan saya ingat bulan depan dia besar kemungkinan akan pergi ke beberapa negara Afrika dan juga Saudi kerana kita ada seminar palm oil trip seminar dekat Saudi, dan saya ingat dia akan pergi ke Ethiopia juga. Semua ini adalah pasaran baru. Tapi kita juga lihat pesaing minyak sawit kita macam rapeseed oil dan sebagainya, mereka syarikat-syarikat itu juga telah mula masuk ke semua pasaran ini. Jadi kalau kita lambat, kalau kita tak pergi memberi kesedaran dan mempromosi minyak sawit kita, jadi kita mungkin akan hilang pasaran-pasaran yang ada potensi itu.
The minister also said that more effort should be made by palm oil industry players to actively address the concerns that others have expressed about our palm oil.
Actually, all these are the areas where the oil palm industry players can contribute. And I would like to urge them to contribute. As we say, sayangi sawitku, we also need to do all the right things, you know. When we are being accused for deforestation, we also need to be seen as putting efforts in wildlife conservation and also planting back forestry trees. So that's why I'm going to meet with many oil palm industry players. As I urge them to support the Love My Palm Oil campaign, I also include this kind of restoration of forests and wildlife conservation unto, as part of the campaign.
That was Primary Industries Minister Teresa Kok. Tasha, thanks so much for the updates.
We have a message that came through from a little bit earlier from Dr. RK. Ram Kapal is right to ask the authorities why no action has been taken against the hoodlums who manhandled and assaulted the students last Friday. This was in reference to, I think, the bit of Popit that was right at the top when we were talking about the situation with the University Malaya students. How do we know who the hoodlums are? It's a no-brainer if you watch the video that has gone viral. The inaction is appalling. Home Minister, please order your police force to make some arrests. If you have any thoughts on this matter, as well as any of the things that we've talked about today, so whether it's non-violent student protests, whether it's the issue of palm oil, let us know what you think. That number to call, 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And you can, of course, always tweet us at BFM Radio.
More after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.